Welcome back to the Lash Base podcast. Today's episode is with Valerie Nah, or you might know her as Beauty Gal Val on Instagram. She managed to grow her account to over 25,000 followers just by creating reels consistently over the last few months. It's an unbelievable story, and she also goes deep into some mental health struggles that I feel a lot of people listening will relate to. Right, let's get started. Here we go then. Today's amazing guest is the girl that always puts a smile on everybody's face in the lash industry. She is the queen of reels and very transparent and very open. I'm here with Valerie Nah, which is Beauty Gal Val. And I wanted to get, is it Val or Valerie?
Either or. Everybody calls me Val, but it's either or.
I'll go with Val then. Yeah, I've got Val here to talk through some very serious stuff, as well as hopefully give everybody listening some tips and some advice on how you can go viral using reels. For anybody that doesn't know Val yet, can you tell us a little bit about your lash journey so far?
Yeah, so I'm Valerie. I'm 26 and I started lashing about almost 4 years ago now. I received my esthetician license 3 years ago now, so it's been a while. And I have just been growing my Instagram with my content, like with my reels, and growing my clientele. And it's been a fun journey. It's been nice.
Nice one. And do you do training as well?
I do. I recently started more like focusing more in depth on like trainings and doing all those kinds of things. So I started doing my online virtual training for retention because I know a thing or two about retention. And I started doing my beginner course classes for anyone who is interested in getting into the lash industry, as well as some advanced courses like megas and stuff like that. So I've recently, about the last 2 months, I've gone more like into that.
Nice. And how's it going so far for you?
It's going. It is definitely a journey. I think it's definitely like you have to be a little bit, you have to believe in yourself and have a little bit of confidence that you do know what you're talking about. So that was the hardest part, is like just having a little bit of confidence in myself and understanding like I know what I'm doing. I can teach someone else. So definitely not having imposter syndrome is a little bit hard, but it's been really fun and it's been really cool to see people's lives change. And they like send me like pictures of their progress. It's been really fun.
You're definitely not alone with the imposter syndrome. I get it regularly as well. And I do have to give myself that sort of nudge to say, no, hang on a second, Jamie, you do know what you're doing. Like you would, yeah. People wouldn't. And this is for you and your training. People wouldn't have signed up if they didn't believe in you and you weren't qualified to do it anyway, if you know what I mean.
Correct. So, that's true. Yeah. You've got to remind yourself of that.
What's your favorite is form of training? Is it training the complete newbies, or is it somebody that's coming to you for retention or something very specific? What do you prefer?
Recently, I'm really enjoying my virtual retention trainings because I do a one-on-one retention course with them and I go through my manual and explain everything to them. And it's really cool to see people's face lights light up and they're like, they have this light bulb go off and they're like, oh, I never understood that, but I'm understanding like this is what is affecting my retention. So it's been really cool to get into like the science portion of things like that. And like, it's really, really cool to see people like connect the dots. So it's been really fun doing those.
Yeah, I've noticed when you first come into the lash industry as a newbie, you don't, apart from maybe one or two sentences on just make sure your temperature and humidity is okay, like that's about right. As far as it can go when you're brand new to the industry. And then all of a sudden when things are going wrong, you find yourself searching on Facebook groups for what's the best glue.
Right. And glue has nothing to do with your retention, and I yes. Think a lot of people hurt when I say that, but yeah
I'm glad you said it. I agree. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on the podcast, just to kind of get a little bit serious with this now, is because something that we all, everybody has mental health, but something that we're not always open about is when we're struggling mentally with mental health. And We all go through it. I do. And I know many of the people listening have ups and downs. And something that I noticed and really admire about you is the fact that you've kind of put it out there and explained sometimes why you have to take a break from social media, sometimes when things are getting a bit tough for you. So I wanted to really kind of dig deep and say, like, what are some of the experiences that you have had, if you would like to share? And then how did you get through that?
So recently, I think that my mental health was struggling, and it still is every day. I mean, I go to therapy and really try to take care of my mental all the time. But recently, it sounds so dramatic, but if you've ever had your heart broken, it really makes you question everything about yourself. And I was, man, I haven't actually talked about this, but I actually was with someone who I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And I revolved a lot of like my business, my life, and basically everything about me around this relationship. And when that was gone, I kind of felt like I didn't know who I was for a second. And I started to realize how much I wasn't. Well, I will always say I'm never doing enough in my business, but I started to realize how much I wasn't putting my effort into my business. And that affected me a lot more too, because I was like, wow, I'm really letting this go. And I built this community on my Instagram, and I started to beat myself up over all those things and started to like compare myself to others, and just everything started crumbling down. And then I started to understand that I needed to put in all that effort and the love and the time and all of those things and put it back into myself. And it's not easy. And also, when I see, I always tell people, don't compare yourself to others, but it's really hard not to do that. So I think that, man, I lost my train of thought.
Just saying where you had all started with a heartbreak, and then it sort of snowballed, spiraled into you noticing that you weren't doing enough for your business, which then led you to comparing to other people, and then you started feeling like you were letting down your community that you had built for yourself. And it was just really, I think the point you were at is you were going to explain where or how did you come back from those feelings.
So oh man, I don't know how to start that sentence. So I started to put back in all the effort and time that I was putting into someone else, and started putting those things into my business and putting them back into myself. And I started to realize how much I really was burning myself out, because I am a person who avoids my life stressors and avoids things that are bothering me by working. And in turn, it kicked me in the butt, because I wasn't giving myself a break. I wasn't eating. I wasn't doing the things that actually made me feel alive. And so it all caught up to me one day, and I stopped posting on social media. And I was like, I told my mom, I was like, I'm sad. I'm so sad. And she was like, it's okay, you know. And she told me one of the things that have stuck with me for a while now. And it was like, you're allowed to lose yourself sometimes. Just come back. And I did. And so I started to put my energy into myself. I started working out. I woke up. I gave myself a routine. I made sure that I was posting regular content. I was getting ready in the morning for the days that I was going to film reels, because not every day that I get ready all the time. Mm-hmm. And I started filming my reels more consistently, and talking to my social media and talking to my followers and answering questions and really keeping a busy mind. And then eventually I realized I'm not the only one who has to be going through this. This is crazy, because everyone has struggles, but I just noticed that on Instagram, we tend to just share the best parts of ourselves, which is a highlight. I mean, Instagram is a highlight. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, they must be so hard. If it's hard for me to see someone else doing well, I wonder how hard it is for other people as well. And I root for other people, I do, but it's hard. So I wanted to share the fact that it's okay if you're struggling. We don't always have the best days. And it actually is super It's a super beneficial to notice and realize, like, hey, I'm not doing okay today, and that's okay. But what can I do to change that? I'll go to the gym, or I'll eat better, I'll take a nap. And so, yeah, all those little things like that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that works, like, is the amazing for me is going to the gym. And is this something that you recently started that has helped, or have you always been like going to the gym, into exercise?
So yeah, I started taking the gym more seriously recently. There's a funny quote, and it's like, if you want to get really, really fit, have someone break your heart. And that's very true. And so I got a trainer because I used to work out and I just wasn't consistent. And for me, it was accountability, because if I didn't show up to my session, I was like, oh my gosh, I would hate it if someone no-showed me, so I don't no-show her. So it's accountability. So yeah, I recently started to work out. And even on the days that you don't want to work out, literally go work out, because after that, you feel so much better. Even if you're sad, go work out. Literally walk, go on a walk. You feel so much better. So that's why I started incorporating working out, and your mood elevates. So that's why.
Yeah, definitely. I always say to people that, like, because I am one of those weirdos that I really enjoy exercise and the struggle of it. However, the best thing and the best outcome from the physical exercise I do is how I feel mentally afterwards. Like, it completely, right. it's my time in which I come up with a lot of my ideas. It's that, so I get out of my own head. I don't overthink things. And then afterwards, when you've finished, I always, always, always just feel so, so good. And that's why, yeah, for me, I think physical exercise is more important for your mental health than it potentially is for your physical health.
Yes, 100%. Especially, like, if you're in this industry and you're sitting down a lot too, it's also really good for your mind, because our minds are so focused on one single thing, like lashes all day, every day, you're picking lashes. So it's good to make your mind be busy with something else.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Okay, so with you mentioned that you were starting to feel a little bit burnt out. I wondered if, and a question I wanted to ask was, if you had any top tips for avoiding burnout in the lash industry.
Yes, so I recently learned these this year, and it wasn't until this year that I started making them super, and like, I implemented these into my life. And so, number one, don't take more clients than you know you can handle. Like, your body needs rest on top of that. Like, you're not going to lose clients just because you don't take them after hours. Set your hours and set your boundaries from the beginning with your clients, and they'll respect that. You deserve the time off. Also, don't go into your lunch. Forcefully schedule a lunch for yourself in your day, so you can have, even if you don't eat, which do eat, please, but if you don't eat, just take that time to relax, de-stress for a second, because it is hard talking to people and focusing on these meticulous things that you're doing. Also, take the vacation, and also don't go in on your days off. You literally need the time to be with your family or regroup or be with your dog or whatever you need to do. Do what makes you feel alive. So take the vacation, take the time off. And don't, I also do this. I work from 10 to 5. I answer 10 to 5. That's it. So set those boundaries with your clients, and it's definitely going to avoid you hating your job, because I come to work every day and I love what I get to do every day. But if I were not implementing all those rules, I definitely would dread it. So put all these things into your life, and it makes it so much easier.
I agree. I think, like, to underline that, that is just straight up boundaries, isn't it, with your business? And you can, you are proof that by having boundaries, by working your hours that you've set, you still have a growing and flourishing business. Like, they clients, you'd be surprised the amount of people that will say, no, my client can only do 10 p.m. on Sunday. They can only do that. otherwise they're not going to come. Like, you'd be surprised if you say, no, I only have Monday through Friday or whatever it is. You'd be surprised how they would be able to fit into your schedule. Or even worst case scenario, they're not the client for you. But I agree with making sure that you've got these boundaries, making sure that if you want to be in the industry for a long time, then you need to have a structure. You need to have breaks. You need to look out for yourself and not, you need to be able to say no as well.
Yeah. For example, that happened to me recently. A client, she decided not to come to me anymore, but she had said that she feels like us as lash artists, like we should be more accommodating to clients because they pay us. And that's the thing. And I feel like people don't understand that some clients, if you don't put this into perspective for them since in the beginning of the journey with you and them, they kind of think that they can just come to you whenever and you'll be open, available whenever. And they're kind of, you're just at their disposal. And no, that's really bad boundaries. So don't do that to yourself. Yeah.
I agree. Okay. So I wanted to also talk to you on the podcast about something that you are as good as I know, like that I don't know many others in the lash industry that can create reels so engaging and so consistently and manage to grow your account so quickly in the social Instagram world of today. Like today, growing on Instagram isn't as easy as it was 2, 3, 4 years ago. So like when I started my Instagram account, I gained followers fairly quickly because I'm not even going to lie, it was easier. Reach was better. Mm-hmm. There wasn't so much to do. It was basically posting pictures and videos, but then Reels came along. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I had a little scroll through your Instagram. And if anyone listening to this wants to go, we'll put all the links and stuff into the captions, but it's at Beauty Gal Val. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I had a scroll through just before this call to see how many views you were getting and look at your engagement and stuff, just to try and understand a little bit more before I ask questions. And I think we've got almost identical number of followers. I like to think of myself as quite funny and also quite good at reels, right? And yeah. I realize by looking at your engagement and numbers that I am not. And you look, it's like 20K, 30K, 40K, every now and again, 100s, 200s. Mm-hmm. A good one for me is 20,000 views. And I'll start looking
for the others. That's really good.
Oh, I know it is. I know you've already said, don't compare yourself. That's not me comparing.
Don't.
I just mean like you have something, you've managed to suss out what works, whether you understand your audience perfectly, whether you know, whether it's the good lighting, whether it's the what, like, I guess what I want to ask is, how do you do it?
So this question is always hard for me to answer because I will be very honest, I don't know. And people always ask me, like, do you have a structure or what is this or what do you do? And to be honest, I tell people all the time, like, it's just being super genuine and literally posting what you think your audience is going to engage in. And I understand my audience because I talk to them a lot. So I always talk about my stories and I ask them questions and a lot of them want to know a lot about me. And so then I realized that I was like, oh, so like if I share more of me, this is going to do better. And so that stands true. And also when you make reels, I do this thing called reel research. And I think a lot of people do as well. Basically what you do is you go through reels and you just find the ones that find the sound that would work for something related to your niche. And I'll save a bunch of sounds. And once a week I'll film 3 or 4 and I'll post that throughout the week. But make them genuine. So literally your facial expressions and how you put it out there, really, people really like to see that. If you're just forcefully doing these reels, people notice that as well. Just be super genuine about them. They have to be relatable to your niche. And also don't think too hard, because honestly, the best reels that I've ever had, the ones that got the most engagements, are the ones I didn't think about very much. They're the ones that I filmed once and edited really quickly and posted it, and they do very well. So don't think about it too much. Do what works, you know, for you. Get to know your audience the most and be engaging. You have to really be talking to your, be engaging to your audience. They want to know you. They want to get to know you and they feel like they have a connection with you. So
I think that's one of the great things as you're sort of explaining what you do. I am here just scrolling through some of your reels, and I can see that the majority of them are just you in front of the camera with text on screen, aren't they? And I'm not trying to belittle you or make that sound worse than it is. That just shows how how we sometimes, all of us, me included, can overcomplicate what we're trying to achieve or trying to do.
Yeah, don't overcomplicate it. The sound helps. So like when you find a sound, for example, I did one and it was like, I was like, why would you do that? And it's literally just your facial expression and putting on the text, like, you know, my client's picking her lashes out, like that kind of thing. Like, why would you do that? It's relatable to lash artists, and it's the things that they want to say, but they wouldn't actually say. And so that is really engaging too.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, you know, you said like sometimes you'll just do like two or three in a go, in one go, and then you'll post throughout the week. Do you do it at certain times, certain days, or is it just you'll have three in between a client? You might say, oh, I'll post it now. Is there any tactics involved at all?
Yes, there is. And
I'm so glad you said that, by the way. I was waiting for you to go, no, I don't know how I do it. I just do it whenever I want. And that's how you get 50,000
there is. I have gotten I don't really like to talk about it because I always feel like I'm going to jinx myself. But Instagram is funny. So the algorithm is always changing, which it's crazy. But what I have noticed is that Instagram kind of wants you to be engaging yourself a little bit. And so before I post a reel, I don't have a specific time. I won't say there's a specific time. Most of the time I do it after work because I'm really busy during that time I'm with my clients. So I'll go on Instagram. I'll like look at my comments. I'll respond to them. I'll like my comments, the ones that I like. I will respond to messages, watch other people's stories, hard people's stories. And then the biggest thing that I have seen is that I will go onto my stories and I will answer a couple questions that I've gotten in the beginning of the week. I do questions of the week with Val every week and I answer people's questions. And then I post my reel and then I like my comments as they come and it does very well. For some reason, I just think that Instagram likes to see that you're engaging as well as using the app, and it has worked. It's worked for me every time.
That's amazing. That is definitely something that I don't do enough of, and I'll give it a go and I'll let you know how it is. I see your stories where you do your questions, and even I know this, just to let you know, this podcast will be coming out on a Tuesday and I know it's Thursday now, but I was I was kind of hoping it would be on a Wednesday just so I could say happy flipping Wednesday.
Literally everybody makes fun of me for saying that.
Which, if anyone obviously doesn't know Val yet, go and follow her stories and you'll be saying it too.
Yeah, you'll be saying it too. Happy flipping Wednesday, happy flipping Friday.
So that is going to be a major one for people that are listening. However, something you did touch on, and that is trying to be natural and trying to be your authentic self on camera. That isn't easy for everyone. Like, I know you made it sound easy. You definitely make it look easy. But do you have any advice or tips for lash artists that know that they could and want to put themselves on camera? Top tips for them?
Yeah, so I know it can be really scary to put yourself on camera and be, you know, talking and be like, oh, just engaging to your, because everybody thinks that they look cringe. And some people are like, oh my God, no. Like literally talk to your camera and post it. And I know it's easier said than done, but the more that you do it, the more comfortable you'll become with that. And I live my life like this. I get one life and I do whatever the heck I want, whatever makes me happy. And I know that sounds like so cliche, but literally, who cares? Literally put yourself out there and do it. And people love that. People want to see your genuine personality. And someone said this to me the other day. They were like, we watch the Kardashians eat salad. Like, why would you think that no one would want to like look at your videos? So literally just put yourself out there, just do it, talk to the camera. This sounds so crazy. I talk to myself a lot. I like give myself fake interviews all the time. And so I think like when I go on camera, I kind of just already, I'm talking to myself. And don't think too much of it. Honestly, people are not judging you. They really are not. And if they are, they're just whatever, who cares? So just go on there and just do it. Breathe. Don't be fake on there. Just like be yourself. Literally, I know it sounds so hard, but just be yourself and be a little bit confident in it. You know, you're in this industry or whatever industry you may be in, so you know a thing or two about what you're talking about. And just the more you do it, you'll start to realize, if you look back at some of my videos, I'm not as outgoing, but the more that you do it, the more free, the more carefree that you become. So literally, you just have to do it.
That is exactly what happened to me when I first decided to start talking on camera. It was, I can look back now, and it is, in my opinion, I'm like, cringe. That is just not. However, at the time, again, no one cares. Everyone seemed to like it. Seemed to go down all right, because it was just normal. And then you get into a period where you really are confident, because you can definitely fake. Like this is the one thing I think you can fake. Fake it mm-hmm. and fake until you make it. That's confidence. Yeah. You can fake confidence, which brings on real confidence. And like you said, when you do it once, it's a bit scary, very cringe. Twice, less scary, less cringe. Three times, four times, five times.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you genuinely don't worry about it too much. Like, I'm going through a period of time at the moment where I haven't done it as much as I could or should. Be like, mm-hmm. I know it's quite important for my brand, for Lash Base, that I am the face, so that I am telling the story and showing what's going on. And I know I haven't done it as much as I could have done, because my excuse is I'm busy. But it isn't. It is. It's when you stop doing it as well, you then get that lack in confidence. And I suffer with it as much as the next person will. But mm-hmm. I know the fix is you just have to do it and understand that you could. And again, a video I saw, like, of someone that was trying to prove that nobody cares, like, really, is he was walking down the street and he said, look, watch this. I'm going to stand and film myself now. I'm going to stand up on this bench and start dancing. Yeah, you might get a couple of looks, but I guarantee you no one will say anything. No one will even think about that later on in the day. Yeah. Like, people really don't care as much as we think they do.
Yeah, I think that comes from, like, being on Instagram. And again, Instagram is a highlight, so we want to post the best part of ourselves. But literally, no one cares. I remember I saw this quote on Instagram on a reel, and it said, confidence is fake. Literally, no one knows if it's real, or no one knows if you got it or if you don't. Just fake it till you make it. So literally, just do it.
Good. Hopefully we'll see some people. Okay, so they are the bits that I wanted to go through with you. And there's a question that I always ask every guest when they come on, and that is, what does the future hold for you in the lash industry?
Oof, that's a good question. my hopes and aspirations is to look like, or to be like you one day. I look up to you a lot. I look up to anybody who owns a brand. I hope to be able to create something that I absolutely love, and to have a warehouse one day. That'd be amazing, to come out with my own products and a lot more trainings. Definitely, I love my clients, but I'm at this stage where I'm thinking long-term, and I'm working towards having a merch line, which I am coming out with the merch line. It's called the Flippin' Lash Artist Collection. And so I'm going to be releasing that soon. So hopefully just shifting gears and focusing on products and more trainings than it would be my actual clients. But I hope that that's where I will be. I hope one day to have a very successful brand, hopefully one day.
If anyone can do it, you can definitely.
Oh,
if you've got
thank
the
you.
Main the main thing is, as well, especially nowadays, it is having people buy from people, and you're a very likable person, and everybody will agree that follows you, and that doesn't follow you yet, but will be following you soon, I'm sure. You're definitely you're gonna have a big future.
Thank you. I hope so. I'll manifest it.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of the episode. I'm going to say goodbye now. We have more episodes coming next week as well. That's going to be a bye from me.
All righty. Thank you so much for having me. It was so nice to talk to you.
Nice. Speak soon, and see you later, everybody.
See ya.